I choose not to be afraid. I choose not to hold back. I choose not to sit idly by. I choose not to let the stones cry out for me. God is too good. He's done too much. And I don't want us to sit idly by. I don't want us to let dust collect on all the things we have in our house, you see. All the things that we hold dear and dear. We have our loved ones up on photos. We have them sitting up on our mantle. All those that we love and we cherish. Those family members. Those that we want the best for. And we leave them sitting there long enough. And the dust begins to collect on those. And only until we go by and we wipe that dust off of that. Only until we go by and pay a little attention to those that are in need. Only until we cry out and go and clean up. Oh, they might not be able to clean themselves up, but by the power that we have inside, we can claim their life and break the chains off of them. Amen. It's their lives that matter. It's not in my possessions. The possessions that I have not only gather, they gather dust, they gather rust. They get old from the day I buy it. It starts to lose its worth. But what Christ gave me, what He placed inside of me, and if I let it grow, its worth is far greater than all that I possess in my hands. God has given me such a wonderful, humble spirit. But if I never, ever go to that inside of me and open up the box, take it out, and use what God has blessed me with, what good, what worth is it to me if I never exercise what God has placed in me? What good is a gift of song if you never stand and sing for God? What good is a gift of anointed prayer if you're not getting down and calling out their names? What good is calling out lest we use it under the anointing of God? Do we hold our gifts of God hostage just so we can say, yeah, I have them. Look at me. Those gifts were not made for us to hold up as vanity. Those things are not to be put on a shelf. It's better to give than to receive. It's better for you to give somebody the truth. It's better for you to give them a hand in prayer. It's better for you to give them an act of love. It's better for you to do something in the will of God than to give them any possession. Listen, we can try to give everybody that we know possession and we'll go bankrupt trying to make everybody happy. I realized for the first year of my life, by not having any money, that it's not in the money.
That's right.
I realized that even when I don't even have, it's not in what I have to give to you. I could buy everybody something wrapped up in pretty little Santas and a nice little bow with pretty polka dots on the side with your name on the outside of the box. And you open that thing up, and what worth is it to you? Because you don't like it, because I thought that you would. Because it's just a possession of this world. It's just something that you might hang on to for a little while, but over time it begins to fade. But the gift of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do we still have some Holy Ghost up in here tonight? The gift of the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of you, that begins to channel up as you stir it, as you go into your prayer closet, as you go in and channel that gift as God has anointed you to have. Can I read one verse and I'll get out of your way? Read this with me. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. We got to get into the closet. It's easy for me to utter 10 or 15 seconds of a very bland prayer. But for me to make myself get away from it all to make myself get away from everything that's on my mind. Make myself get away from the worries and the cares and everything that's dividing me from what God has called me to do. I don't know what it is for you that would try to steer you away from God has called you to be. I don't know what it is for you that might distract you or pull you away from the will of God in your life. But we have to put ourselves in the closet. That you've got to put yourself separate. You've got to get yourself away from the trial. You've got to get yourself somehow to a place where you can clear your mind, clear your thoughts. Get yourself in a place where your heart can be open, where God can open up your heart and change you. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, when are we going to draw the line? When are we going to draw the line to Satan? How many people are going to have to be destroyed in front of us before we, as a church, put our foot down and say, enough is enough? That cuts hard because it's true. The only thing that I know to tell you is that we have to do it together. I want us to just draw the line together, Greg, and say that I want the best for you like I do for me. And if you get it first and it be the best, I don't care. I want the best for everybody. I want you to be blessed. I want your seed to be blessed. I want everybody in this place to be blessed in abundance. I want you to be highly favored. I want you to have wonderful opportunities. I want you to go out and God just pour out a wonderful outpouring. But we don't ever receive anything because we're so distracted with every other thing that's causing us to be rusted and dusted and distracted. We never make it to the closet because we're too busy listening to the yelling and the screaming and that which is boiling up inside of us. Christmas loses its meaning because we're caught up in commercialism. Christmas loses its meaning because we're worried about the feelings and the making sure that we get these people here on time here and these people on time here, because if we bring them both together at the same time, there's going to be trouble there. We're so worried about all this other stuff. So consumed about all this other stuff. And I was praying, and if we're not careful, we become overwhelmed. I'm here to tell you that the weight will be too heavy. And I preach, and you might think that the weight's lighter for somebody like me that gets up here and preaches all the time, but it's just as heavy. Joe, it's just as heavy for me that if you ever feel depressed, I feel depressed. Greg, do you ever feel down sometimes? Of course you do. Of course you do. When we lay down or we get discouraged or think that nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody knows what it is that I'm going through. I know what you're feeling. God does too. But if we hold it in our heart instead of going to the closet and letting God have our bitterness and our confusion, we'll never get past it and never get to where God wants us to be in our lives. We'll never get there. It doesn't have to be a vendetta or a battle or something that anybody has to know about what's bothering you. Go into your closet and pray in secret to God. That means I'm not supposed to call 10 people and tell them how bad the doors made me mad on Sunday. There's so much of that going on that the people that don't know any better, that aren't strong enough to handle it, just say, I don't want to go there anymore. What kind of business is going on there? We're giving out the wrong gifts. It's never intended to be like that. And I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect, but God has given me the understanding that I gotta watch what comes out of here. And I've been to the place where I've been somewhere and I've literally said nothing to save myself from saying anything that I felt like was going to get in the way. Now people might have thought I was rude or inconsiderate, and I'm learning how to distinct what is right and what is wrong. So just because we have an opinion doesn't mean it's the right one. Just because we we think we're right doesn't mean that it's right in God's eyes. We have to learn. We have to let God show us. We have to let Him tame our tongue. I don't know why God keeps leading me there. I lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. This is a Sermon on the Mount. I believe it's chapters 6, 7, and 8. Is that right? Close enough, I think. I think it's 6, 7, and 8. Or at least 6 and 7, I know of. Lay not up. It's a wonderful sermon. So many things that you can touch on that you can apply in your life. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. If we lay our stuff out and all our belief that should be in Him is in this stuff, don't be surprised when you feel so discouraged when that thing that's rusty and that worldly thing that we think and we got all our trust in finally goes bad. I used to love this car when I was a kid. When I was 16, it was the best thing ever. And it wasn't the fastest car. It wasn't the flashiest thing. But when I got it, I bought it. And I thought it was just the best thing in the world. I drove it around. I paid for it myself and got it painted myself. And I drove it around and I just thought I was something. But then I realized that this went bad on it and I had to pay for that. And that went bad and I had to pay for that. And every single time that something went bad, I was let down. I was discouraged because something else went bad. And all my faith that I had in that thing, that nothing was ever going to go wrong in that car, that it was going to last forever. Nothing that we put our trust in, that we stand on, or that we get a hold of, or that we speak to, is going to last forever. A relationship that you might think is concrete will eventually break at some point in time because nobody is strong enough to be able to endure everything that life has for them. What am I trying to say? Somebody that you might be leaning on and counting on them to pray you through every trial. We cannot live life that way. We have to learn to get down and say, God, I need you right now. Lord, I'm calling out for me. I'm calling out for Jared. Lord, I need you to lift me up tonight. If I was able to lift myself up and give myself some encouragement, maybe, just maybe, I'll come in and lift somebody else up that needs some help in the house of God instead of coming in with my doom and my gloom and not being able to do a thing other than worry about all my troubles. Listen, I have all the troubles in the world, but I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about that. It's not in that. We can worry and focus our trust all on something, and it's in the wrong area. God did not intend for it to be on something that is within our view. It's the substance of things not seen. Generally, if we're trusting in something that we can see, touch, or feel, we're really not in the right area. That's a really good indicator for me. For example, we're in kind of a financial distress. So instead of my prayer being, Lord, I need you to give me cash, I'm focusing on the object. Wrong focus. But Lord, I need you to provide so that my bills are paid. Lord, that you take care of me financially. It's not about the object. It's about God carrying you through what He's trying to bring you through. You might be aggravated, bent up, tore up, out of shape with somebody that's hindering you from being able to be obedient to God because it's something that's continually just agonizing you, bothering you. And you might be saying, Lord, help me to be able to get past this with this person. Wrong focus. I'm focusing on the person. When I focus on the person, I'm going right back to the one thing that's bothering me. Lord, give me the love that I be able to forget no matter what it is. We were talking the other night that all that Christ faced when He was brought into this world and everything that He faced in the crucifixion and how painful that was, it had to take a lot of love to be able to say, Father, forgive them. Had to take a lot of love to be able to forgive them after all the persecution, I don't know about you, but if you faced even one of the phases of that persecution, I don't think you would say, Father, forgive them. I would think that we would say, Father, punish them. That's the world we live in. Everybody wants somebody to be punished for the wrongdoing that we face. And we're taught in the Bible to be able to turn the other cheek, right? We're not in that art anymore, are we? The world wants us to be able to just grab life by the horns. Grab them by the neck. Come on, somebody, laugh with me. Grab them by the neck. Quench our other fists. A lot of times we'd be like, I've got five reasons not to like you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come on, was that not funny? I'm trying to reason with you. It's easy to get angry. It's easy to get pulled away. Because it only takes one thing. Imagine what you could be if that one thing wasn't in your way. Imagine where you could go if we just let that one thing go. Imagine it. There is so much talent here. There's so much wonderful, anointed people here that could just stand up, rise up, and bring a whole service to full circle. I'm saying that in a very positive way because I've seen it and I know. And to be honest with you, I'm ready. And I'm going to be more bold. And if you feel somebody behind you get you up, tug you, and kick you out of the seat and say, obey the Lord, that very well might just be me. Because I'm drawing the line around you. And I'm saying, they're going on. And devil, you've had it. Your place and your time is over. Woo! Your time is up at 13th Street. We got the preachers, yeah. Well, it's time that we hear some preaching. Can I get an amen for my preachers? We got the preachers. I'm ready to hear some preaching. Amen? 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 That means we got to get down during the week. We got to call out on God and let Him show us what we need to bring. And I'm telling you that all that digging is worth it. All that searching is worth it. And if you don't get a chance that particular day, don't worry about it. You'll get another one. And if you don't get to preach that one, it's a blessing just for you. Yeah, I had that happen to me a long time ago. Well, Lord, it was my night and they went. I got over that real quick. So what? If somebody gets help, who cares? Woo! Who cares? I hope that somebody wouldn't have cared if it was the night that somebody was preaching that I got delivered. Come on. Come on. I hope that somebody doesn't care if it's Linda singing that somebody gets delivered. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We got to learn. We got to learn. We got to heed. We got to study. We got to practice. We got to move. We got to be obedient. Now is not the time to slow down. Now is not the time to be distracted. I'm not playing patty cake with Satan anymore. You hear me? You're going to face a tough battle after this. I've been facing tough battles. Believe me. You don't stand up and preach as God anoints somebody and not face the trial for it. But it's well worth the price. It's well worth the price. I think I've got one more to read. Getting pretty good at stopping when God tells me to. I didn't even finish up the last part. I'll read 19 again and we'll go forward. We're in chapter 6, by the way, if you're reading. 6:19. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. If your focus and faith is in God, it can't touch that. Can't touch it. If our trust is at Bank of America and all our money in there, He can get to that and discourage us from completely ever coming to church and believing God. But if our faith is in greater than a bank account, He can't touch that. I feel that He cannot get to where our faith is for our loved ones. Cannot touch that. If we go above what we see in this world, we can't be discouraged when we see Him, Beth, out there in trouble. We can't look upon that. If Angela looked upon that when I was out there, I surely would have given up on me. I would have given up on me if I would have saw me. I didn't give up on Greg. I'm not giving up on you. Never will. I'm not giving up on his place. I'm not giving up on you. Have you given up on me? Have we given up on each other? You see, if Satan can get us distracted, I'm just going to call it as God has put it in my spirit the past few weeks. When we're distracted or offended or we're hurt, I've seen it. God showed me. He's dividing the body of Christ with one offense at a time. If he can get Angela to think that Jesse has a problem with Angela, there's a division. And there's no real division to begin with. And then there's one person less coming to church. And those could have been the very two that prayed together to set someone else free. When we're distracted and set on one little thing instead of focusing on God, He'll lead us and we get past all the things that were never meant. If it is a real trial, if it is a real issue that somebody has with you, first of all, God will show you their spirit. If you think for a second that I get up here and I preach sometimes that God doesn't show me discernment of people that are lost or that are in need, and when God gives me the privilege to be able to feel that, I hope that when I get on a higher level one day that He shows me more, but He does. And I feel like that when people are strong enough to be able to handle more, they get more. I mean, believe that. If you can't handle the Lord showing you that somebody has a problem with you, I don't think He's going to let you have it. Can I get an amen? Amen. We got to be led of His Spirit. Hallelujah. As His anointing comes forth, we got to be led and we got to move quickly. God moves quickly. Well, I know that we wonder and we wait and we want people to move and will you go ahead and I don't want to get in your way, but we got to get to a place where we move when God moves on you. Don't worry about making me mad. If it's you that's got the word of the hour, would you get mad at me? Would you be offended if I had sat down knowing that God had given me the word of the hour? What about if would you have been offended if you had known that the word of the hour would have saved your child and I sat down and didn't do it? Would you have begged me to get up? Would you beg me to get up and do it? That's what I'm doing tonight. God's sending out a call tonight. God wants you to know that we're all required. We know better. And I know that we've got troubles. But do we not know the one that will help us in our time of trouble? We can't make the excuse and say, I can't do because I'm in trouble, when we serve a God that will help us when we're in trouble. We can't sit back and do nothing when God will help us do something. And when I know the Lord will never come off our backs and feel like that we're just happy-go-lucky with nothing. I know it's never going to be like that. It is for those that first come in the walk to help them. I know, but we're strong enough and we know that God will help us bear our load. He'll help us carry it. Amen? He'll help us, JR. He'll help us. He'll bring us through all of it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's my whole point. If you're not praying, and you're not seeking God during the week, and you're not reading His Word, and you're not trying to make any effort for God during the week, and all that you're consumed with is all your other stuff to do with your life, there's where your heart is. There you are. And then when we feel like that we're in a time of desperation, when we feel like that the walls are closing in, feel like that all is about to just break down and crumble before us, there we are. Am I speaking to anybody's heart tonight? Am I speaking to anybody tonight? There we are, distracted, consumed, confused, feeling like that we've got no place to go, nobody to talk to, you can call everybody that you know. They don't understand. They ain't got enough to be able to help you. Can't do enough to be able to bring you out of it. They can try to help you a little bit of the way. It can't do enough just to bring you any satisfaction. I'm telling you, when you're searching out for any answers out in the world, you'll never get enough. When you're out and you're in debt and you're searching for all the money in the world, it'll never be enough. When you're looking for satisfaction, do you hear the words that's coming forth? When you're searching for things out there, you'll never find enough. You'll never find what God has ordained for your life. It's only coming through Him. It's only going through to your prayer closet. It's only through humbling down, getting down and calling out to God. You don't have to tell me that you prayed 20 times during the week. If you pray humbly before God, it will show on you. You'll see it in your countenance. You'll see it in your life. Joy will begin to rise up in you. You won't walk around with all the depression. Depression cannot stay where it is not welcome, Linda. It cannot stay where we tell it to go. Woo! It cannot dwell where we banish it. That means if we have to, every day, every hour, if we must, it's got to go, Faye. Pain's in your body. We got to dismiss it as it comes. You let it stay in there long enough, it's like a bad taste in your mouth. How long would you let a sour taste in your mouth sit there? How long would you let vinegar sit in your mouth before you would try to get rid of that? How long are we going to let things sit up here, Jamie, before we finally let it go? Do we have things in here that are 1 year old, 2 years old, 10 years old? Do we have bondages that are 20 years old in here? Do we have hang-ups that are against one person? Two people? 10 people? Do we have something that's hindering us from being able to be obedient? Lord, I won't serve you in that place until they leave. Come on now. Do we have something in our mind that cannot go? How long would we let a sour taste in our mouth, Gail, sit there until we get rid of it? How long are we going to let Satan's trickery sit inside of our mind before we rise up? Do I have anybody willing to rise up right now? How long are we going to let all those things boil inside of us until we rise up and say, devil, you have no place in my mind. You have no place in this body. My mind, my body is holy. It is anointed of God. And you have no place in my home. You got no place in my family. You got no place in my job. You got no place anywhere. Oh, that I dwell. I am blessed. I am blessed. I claim my church. I claim my church. My church is blessed. My church is anointed. Oh, somebody agree with me tonight. My church is blessed. My church is blessed. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Woo! Can't hardly talk. As long as I draw breath, I am blessed, Annie.